The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. Feed us with your grace and grant us the treasure that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thanks for coming up. I didn't even have to ask you. You know the drill? Are there any other kids out there who'd like to join us up front? Okay. Well, thanks. It's good to be with you again. You remember me? I remember some of your faces. Thanks for singing today. I really appreciate that. Today in the first reading, we hear from the prophet Amos. We've actually been hearing from him a little bit. It's a really short book, but a lot of meat in there. A lot for us to chew on and think about. But for me, it's interesting just who he is. He wasn't kind of a professional preacher or whatnot. He was actually a farmer. And since I come from farmers, my grandparents were farmers, I think it kind of connects for me. What he did is he took care of animals like sheep and goats. And then he also tended these sycamore trees, which grew figs. Have you ever had a fig?
Yeah.
Yeah? I love them. Yeah. And so his job was to raise food, animals and plants, for the whole village, right? So his job was to feed other people. And I think that daily job of tending animals and tending the trees that grew fruit is it gave him time to think about what God was up to. And what was going on with his people was they were losing their way. They had become really selfish. They had forgotten about God. They had their ceremonies, but they weren't doing what God wanted them to do. And what's the basics? What does God want from us? Yeah, I want to love each other, to look out for each other. Like a family, right? Right? If God is our parent who loves us, then it's our job for his family to look out for each other. I noticed when I came in, there's lots of ways you look out for each other. Here, help people who need a hand. Help people make sure they're fully included in the community, that their gifts get to be celebrated and shared. And one of the ways the community does this is something that Amos talked about, is in the way that we do business. He noticed when he brought his animals and plants to the market that people were getting cheated, that they started to make the measuring baskets smaller and charge people more. Some of us know what that's about. To do shopping on a regular basis. We would pay more for less. That's what was going on with his people. He said, that's not right. We need to deal with each other fairly so that everyone has enough. Right? So that poor people don't have to skip meals just to get by. And I work at San Diego State with college students. Some of them skip meals. Some of them sleep in their cars or even outside in the canyons. And God and God's prophets are reminding us that's not the way it ought to be. That there's enough for everybody, we just need to figure out and make sure that we're sharing. So one way we do that in the church is we bring offerings, right? We bring some of what God has provided through our life and our work, and we share that with the community so we make sure everyone has enough. I know this is a generous congregation because our students receive benefits from the giving of this community because they can't pay for the services that we give them, like our food pantry. Sometimes we help them with housing. And so what we do, and I'm glad to hear you've got a stewardship emphasis coming up to help you with that. One of the ancient traditions is that we bring a tenth of what we have. Do you ever get money in a birthday card?
Yeah.
What do you do with it? Save it? Okay. What else?
Save
some and spend some? Okay. Yeah, that's what we do with my daughter, is she's got a savings account now. And she also gives back. Halloween's coming. We even do that with the candy. Like she gets a huge bag of candy because our neighborhood is full of people who hand out candy at Halloween. And she even gives actually most of that away because if she ate all that sugar, it probably would make her sick. So if we think about living our lives that way, that we give back first of what we have received rather than leftovers, that's one way that we make sure everyone has enough. Some people give like a tenth, like 10%. Some people save 10%, right? And then spend. And you realize when you do that from up front, you realize you have plenty to share, right? If you wait until you spend first and then see what's left over, oftentimes there's nothing left, right? And Amos is reminding us, share from the first of what God gives us. And that way we'll always know that we not only do we have enough, but so do our friends. The because we're looking out for each other. Okay? Can we pray? God, thank you for your generous love to us, for providing for us through the fruit of the earth, through the labor of our hands. Help us to love one another in all the material ways that you've given us to live, through food, through shelter, through clothing, through the way we care for each other as neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
A reading from Amos. Alas for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory, and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock, and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, improvise on instruments of music. Who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 146 responsively. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, O my soul!
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals in whom there is no help.
When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish.
Happy are they who have the Lord God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keep promises forever.
Who gives justice to those that are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Alleluia. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Timothy. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time, he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Word of God, Word of Life.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'Even if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
These are challenging texts. Good ones to have a guest preacher in on. But really, I'm not inventing anything here. This is a consistent theme of the prophets, that there are consequences of wandering away from God's way. And that's not just that God punishes, because I have real problems with that. I don't think that's who Jesus is revealing. But a God of infinite mercy who does not spare us from the consequences of our actions so that we might learn from them. So when we hear about this chasm that's fixed between the righteous and the unrighteous, I tend to think that perhaps this is a chasm that we build, that we dig, to divide us from others so that we can protect what we see as ours from others who are in need. Where we build walls, fences, prisons, other gaps, like I mentioned about homelessness, things that keep us separate so that we don't have to look at each other and be convicted that maybe our society is out of balance. I think this vision of God's reign on earth, using the image of the cosmic realms, is to help us see that there's eternal meaning in this passing time that we occupy. That as we walk, we're moving in a certain direction. And I suspect that's why you keep coming back here, to return again to God's wisdom, that we find our way, because it's so easy to lose our way when we live in an economy that's structured to separate us, to head us in two different directions, to live on opposite sides of a chasm, where really Christ is wanting to draw us all together. That God's mercy is available to all people. These are perilous times. I hear many, and I feel it myself, that I have to take my news in very small doses. There's so much fear and hatred and bigotry and greed and corruption before us. And some will look for scapegoats, saying, "He's the problem." Right? Right now we're in the midst of impeachment inquiries. And yes, we do have to bear the consequences of our actions. But let's not scapegoat one person for a systemic problem that touches all of us. Right? And that's what the prophets are saying. Is it in our daily lives and our habits of dealing with each other with our neighbors. Right there is where that division, that sin begins. And so what will reconcile us? And I think that's the point of the prophets, is to challenge us, as Amos does, that our religious traditions and practices don't assuage our guilt or isolate us or give us a pass for what we're doing in our daily lives that's doing damage. The prophets have been saying the same thing, this warning against greed and self-seeking for thousands of years, that those things lead to death. One of our previous presidents of the United States, Richard Nixon, at one point in an interview, said greed is good, that it drives our economy. But the prophets share this unanimous refrain: greed is poison. It poisons the well from which we all must drink. The prophets are clear. You cannot hoard all the goodies for yourself and share nothing with the migrant, the refugee, the stranger, the beggar. So we have before us an ultimate test of our conscience, our collective conscience. Will we welcome the alien, the homeless, as a citizen, as a sister or brother, as Scripture repeatedly expects of us? Or will we continue to turn our backs on God, who comes to us as Jesus, a poor, brown-skinned Palestinian Jew by way of Egypt? Today, we receive fewer refugees in this country than at any time in our history of doing so. On the other hand, some are waking up. The ELCA's churchwide assembly this year passed a resolution committing ourselves as a sanctuary church body, leaving it open to us what that means and how we express that and practice that locally, but to challenge us together of how we might more fully welcome all of God's people, that all of God's people might be part of God's reign on earth. And this has stoked our imagination at Agape House, of how we reach out to our neighbors, some of whom are students, spend all night in their car and come to sleep at Agape House because they can't rest when they don't feel safe. It tests our conscience to be in close proximity with those who, like Lazarus, are suffering. When they're out of sight, it's easier to forget, right, and be consumed with the busyness of our days. But when we come into community with each other, our hearts are tugged, aren't they? So will we live up to these words? Live up to what it means to be a sanctuary church? How will we do this? This is the test of our time. In Dietrich Bonhoeffer's time, a Lutheran pastor who resisted the Nazis, he said the church had perfected the art of equivocation, of making excuses for why we should not get involved in political matters. He challenged the church of his time, where pastors, most of them, were making oaths of loyalty to Adolf Hitler. Can you imagine? We have challenges of our own time, right? How we might be loyal to one another, not just to people in power, but to share and walk together this life that God has given. Amos says, ceremonies have no intrinsic value. Only genuine service of God consists in justice and righteousness. I must confess, as a lifelong Lutheran, that I think we often err so much, I know I do, on the side of grace, that I let myself and our communities off the hook. And the prophets remind me, wait a second, there's a challenge here that comes along with faith. If we commit our lives to God, we're committing that life to the good of all. Certainly, we do not earn God's favor in this way. This is just merely what it is to be a child of God, a gift that we're given when we're adopted as God's children. So we must not neglect good works, but see them as the fruit of faith. Martin Luther said, if we enjoy an excess as our neighbor goes hungry, then we have stolen from our neighbor. How is it that we have trillions for war, but not enough for our schools, or the asylum seeker, or the homeless poor? Martin Luther King Jr. picked up Amos' words for his I Have a Dream speech when he said, "We will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream." That is an image of the abundance of God that is poured out on the earth for all people to enjoy. So as our local homeless population in San Diego grows, as college students skip meals and sleep in canyons, the call of the prophets is clear. Correct these inequities. Your life is not your own, but we're made for each other. We're not exempted from God's judgment by our religion, but it makes God's judgment all the more weighty. Not as punishment, but that our hearts would be transformed and turned inside out to our neighbor. So as most of us return to our homes and the leisure of this Sabbath day, we can really enjoy that rest when we know that our labor and our place in the community benefits others. That's the way I can take my kid to the beach this afternoon while my wife, Angie, does a shift at the hospital. Right? We take turns, and then there's enough for everyone to rest, to enjoy the fruit of labor. At Agape House, we've heard that call, and we're challenged. This is a bold, and some would say crazy, dream of building that big a facility. But the resources of the church are abundant. The Mission Investment Fund said they're looking at ours as a pilot project because not that many churches are being built, and so they're sitting on many million dollars of assets. And what if that was leveraged to house the poor? Not only to provide an obvious need, but to also sustain ministry well into the future, because we're involved in the holistic lives of all of our people with whom we live in our neighborhoods. That's why we're grateful to be partners with you. It reminds us constantly that we need to trust in God to provide what's needed for each day to continue ministry. If you're interested to learn more about our project, we can talk. But the point of this is I'm seeing Amos call to us to say, turn your lives inside out, and then you'll know what it is to really live. When you live for others, you discover a sense of hope and boldness of what is possible. And when we do this together, we realize there is much capacity, more than enough, to answer the needs before us. So if you feel that disturbance in your heart, or your mind, or your gut, from the prophets, it might be God trying to tell you something. And there is no shortage of opportunity to be part of what God is up to in this new day. In the words of Bob Dylan, the times are changing. We see change all around us. How will that involve us as church, to be church in the world? So blessings to you as you enter this new era of ministry, as you discern how God is calling you fresh for a new time to be engaged with your neighbors here in this place. Amen.